Hopefully you can tell this morning that we're doing things a little differently. Hearing from the preaching of God's word a little earlier in the service, that is to save time in ending our service with coming to the Lord's table and celebrating the Lord's Supper at the end. So I will preach, and then we will sing in response and take the Lord's Supper together. If you have a Bible, and I sure hope you do, this morning we're going to finish Romans chapter 15, Lord willing. Romans chapter 15, I will be doing verses 30 through 33. Romans 15, 30 through 33. As you're turning there, I love you guys. I love to hear you sing. I'm sure if you went to another church this morning, you would hear better preaching. Because I know several of the men who preach in this town. You might find song leading, violin and vocals and piano almost as good as our church, but I'm confident that we sing full of joy, as good or better than any church in our community that I've been a part of. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased. When guest preachers and come visit our church, they always comment on how well you sing. And I think they don't mean like you're in tune. I think you sing from your heart because you believe these things. So it is an honor to be a part of the body here at Bethany Baptist Church. If you have found Romans 15, the title this morning is The Role of Prayer in the Mission of the Church. So if you found Romans 15 and you're willing and able, would you stand one last time out of reverence for the reading of God's Word? The role of prayer in the mission of the church. Romans 15:30 should read something like this. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Thank you, and you may have your seat. The role of prayer in the mission of the church. Three-part simple outline. The first three verses in our text. The first is this. Ask the body for prayer. So Paul is asking the body of Christ in Rome for prayer. So simply asking the body for prayer, verse 30. Verse 31, if you're following along, making notes, is strive with the body in prayer. So he's not just going to ask them. They're going to respond, and he's going to pray with them, striving for deliverance from the unbelievers in Judea. So ask the body for prayer, strive with the body in prayer, and then verse 32 to the end, rejoice with the body in answered prayer. He's going to tell them the ultimate ends to these asking and praying, what that refreshment and that rejoicing would look like. So ask the body for prayer, strive with the body in prayer, and rejoice with the body in answered prayer. Just a couple of weeks ago on November 18th, I got out of bed like I usually do. I won't tell you exactly what time I get up every morning. Wish I got up earlier, but I got up like most of you do. Got up thinking about myself and thinking about my day and thinking about my personal prayer needs and the prayer needs of my family and the prayer needs of our church. But I checked my phone email, as I do often in the mornings before I even get to work, and I had an email from 2:52 a.m. Central Standard Time from some missionaries that I love overseas, some that are very dear to my heart, and this is an urgent prayer request. Please pray for Richard and Yahya, who have been called to a meeting with the dean of one of the universities, because they have a complaint against them for having Bible studies on the campus. Pray for wisdom and guidance in the conversation that the gospel will continue to advance on the campus despite this setback. Pray the Holy Spirit would give them the words to say in the meeting. The meeting is at 3 p.m. Middle Eastern time. Pray. I received a prayer request, much like the prayer request that Paul sends to the Romans. As I checked my email that morning, they receive this letter, and in verses 30 through 33, they receive a prayer request, an urgent one, a serious one. Now, when you hear of someone else's need, one of the first things that does, it takes your mind just off of your own needs and your own self. That prayer request that I received on November 18th, 2:52 a.m., did something good for my soul. It showed me that the world was bigger than 339 Greta Drive or Alton, Kentucky. There were needs of believers. There's persecution across the globe. And so this asking of prayer that one of my loved ones sent to me had a great effect on me. And I trust upon them, even if I didn't pray, just to think about praying for others. In verse 30, I want you to see that Paul is doing something similar. Paul is asking the body at Rome for prayer. Look at verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Now, I stop right there because I'm not even going to talk about what he's asking prayer for. I just want us to stop and pause and think about how amazing it is that Paul would even ask them for prayer. Does that not seem amazing to someone? Well, you say, well, people ask people for prayer all the time, and they should. And that's my first point of the sermon. But who is asking who for prayer? The apostle, Paul, the one who saw face to face the resurrected Christ, whose prayers would probably could be written in a book that would rival the Valley of Vision, a book of Puritan prayers. But he, mighty Apostle Paul, is asking them, the church, the laity, all of the believers for prayer. Think about how fascinating it is that the Apostle Paul couldn't get his task done without their prayers. The Apostle Paul believed so much about them and their prayers that he wanted them. He asked for their prayers. Does that encourage you, church? God hears your prayers the same way he would have heard the Apostle Paul's prayers. That even though your prayer life is weak, and you might start praying and you fall asleep or you get distracted, you bowing the knee to pray to the triune holy God is equally as powerful against the kingdoms of darkness. Equally granted a hearing the audience of heaven, the least of the saints at Rome to the greatest. Not just the elders and deacons are asked for prayer on behalf of Paul, but the ladies and some of the youngest believers. He asked for their prayer. I asked for your prayer this morning. Do you ask one another for prayer? Do you value the body of Christ in your prayers as much as Paul does? Well, let's stop and ask, why does God hear our prayers? I mean, Paul, well, of course, why would he hear Paul's prayer? I mean, Paul saw Jesus face to face. Paul is like, he probably never, ever sins. Paul practically walks on water. Paul's got the Bible of the Old Testament memorized. Paul has planted churches. Why does God hear Paul's prayers? Because of nothing in Paul. Paul gives a similar resume mocking the Pharisees who put their hope in themselves by saying, if anyone wants to compare resumes, technically I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, a scholar of scholars, a church planner of church planners. He says, but I count all of the reasons why God should listen to me, as God does, as rubbish. God hears the Apostle Paul not because of anything that Paul has done or could do or will do, but why? Because of the righteousness of Christ. That is why he hears your prayers. Do you see that? Your prayers are equal to the Apostle Paul's prayers, not because you're stronger or weak or because you pray a bunch or you don't pray a bunch, but because of Christ. Look at that. I see this triune nature of the gospel in God in verse 30. The grounds for this appeal of prayers is not, I ask you to pray because y'all are really strong Christians. I ask you to pray because you have the Bible memorized. I ask you to pray because you're good at it. No. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ. By the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God. Do you see the Trinity there? Do you see it? God the Father hears our prayers because of the righteousness of Christ. crucified to open the veil. We could come to God and be heard. And then the Spirit teaches us, draws us near to believe in faith and to love one another. And our prayers are heard. Sometimes we don't know the words to say, but the Spirit intercedes for us. Friends, He hears your prayers. Not because of how eloquently you pray or what you have done or could do, but because of Christ. Doesn't that make you love Christ? Doesn't that make you want to pray? Maybe if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to call to your attention. Why would God hear your prayers? Why would He not? Why would you not, by faith, lay hold of Christ, God's work in Him, to bring you near to Himself? Be reconciled. Even this morning, I'm not asking you to pray. I'm asking you, if you're still at enmity with God, to receive the gift of Christ by faith. I appeal to you for this. So I think he gives the grounds for prayer, why Paul is heard, why their prayers are heard. But also I think it's a motivation to pray. It's unclear if this is just the grounds, like why you can pray, you know, because of Jesus, because of the Spirit, or if this is also the motivation to pray. Like, why should I pray for my brothers and sisters at Bethany Baptist Christ? He would say, has Jesus not saved you just like He saved them? Has His Spirit not come in you and made you take your mind off of yourself and your own needs and showed you you're part of the body of Christ, and that when they suffer, you ought to also suffer, and when they rejoice, you ought to also rejoice? One of the signs that you have been born again, or one of the things that Christ purchased in the gospel, was a new love for the brothers. So joy. He appeals to them on the highest grounds for prayer. But remember, this is mighty Apostle Paul asking them for prayer. Do you ask others for prayer in this body? Does anyone know your struggles and your needs like Paul's needs were known? I can't make it to Judea. I can't make it safely to Rome unless you pray for me. I'm weak. I'm needy. When was the last time you shared a personal struggle in the form of a prayer request with someone in this church? He shared it in Rome. You shared it here. It's an act of humility, isn't it? Some of you are really good at praying for others, but I'm not going to share my needs. Paul did not just pray for them. He asked for their prayers. One of our brothers in one of our prayer gatherings on Thursday night for the men of the church, we call it Brainerd, one of the brothers just shared a story about having a very difficult week. A very difficult week. He's a man of men in my life, as all those men are, and a godly husband and father. But he told a story about having a very, very difficult day. A very, very difficult day. Instead of just gritting it and punching through the day like most men typically think that they have to do and they will end up doing, he called his wife and children and said, pray for Daddy. Pray for me. I'm having a difficult day. I don't think I can make it through. And from the prayers of a wife and children, he lived out what Paul was saying. You see, it takes humility. What about you? Are you stronger than Paul? I don't need people's prayers. Paul needed their prayers. Sure, should you? It is hard. I know the struggle. And so I say it is one in need of growing in this. I had a phone date scheduled last Saturday. A brother who visits our church from time to time when he's in town, lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, he called and asked for my advice on finding a good church there, on how to know to stay or when to go. And so I gave all my advice. I'm kind of pastoring him. I gave him advice. But then at the end of the conversation, he said this, Lucas, how can I pray for you? How can I minister to you? And that's when I go, oh, do I really tell him about my weakness? Do I really tell him that before he called, I had just been a terrible husband to my wife? And we're in the middle of a feud right now because of my sin? Do I tell Blake? Or do I keep it to myself? Will you ask your brothers and your sisters in this room, not just the strong ones, but the ones maybe you deem weak, ask for prayer? When was the last time you did that? What did you ask? Second point this morning, verse 31. We had asked the body for prayer, but now we got to actually do it. Paul's going to tell them what they're going to pray for. So ask the body for prayer. And then in verse 31, I want you to see, strive with the body in prayer. Strive with the body in prayer. Verse 31. This is the content of the prayer. I actually want to back up a little bit into 30. Maybe the second half of 30, you see how this kind of overflow into the how and the what they're praying for. So he says this, maybe after the first, second, third comma in verse 30. I appeal to you to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So he is saying, I'm asking you Romans, from the strongest to the weakest, the men and the women, the new believer, the old believer, I'm asking you to strive in prayer that I may be delivered from the lost people, from the persecution, from the unbelievers in Judea, and safely brought to you. That is, that my offering to the people in Jerusalem from last week's sermon would receive the money. I wouldn't be mugged halfway through, but I would make it there safely. Pray to that end. Strive with me in prayer. Now, that word strive might be the most important word in our text. I mean, prayer is the theme, but we're talking about a specific kind of prayer. Do you understand the difference between just doing something and striving in it? The Greek word here looks and is like our English word for agonize. So I don't know if you ever grew up watching wrestling. I don't recommend it. I didn't really watch it, but for some reason we would ever occasionally and then act it out. But if you're wrestling someone that you can't beat on your own, that is dominating you, which would have been everybody I wrestled or ever would wrestle, as scrawny as I am, when you realize you can't, in your own efforts, beat or complete the task ahead of you, what do you do with your hand if someone's standing outside the ring? You reach through the ropes and just tag team. I can't fight this. I can't gain the victory on my own. Would you help wrestle with me? Would you strive with me in prayer? So Paul reaches through this letter, reaches back to Rome, reaches across the pew, reaches through the phone and says, help me pray, because this is a difficult monster of a battle. Agonize with me in prayer. So what is going on? Why is this such a difficult task and plan? Well, between collecting the money in Macedonia and getting safely to Jerusalem are several towns of angry Jews and unbelievers who hate Paul's gospel. And they have made plans and they will make plans. They're going to make vows. We will not eat until we catch Paul and kill him. Paul could literally die if they don't pray. If God does not intervene in their will, upon their will. And the people in Jerusalem won't get the money. They could starve to death because of the famine we heard about in Jerusalem. If what? If he doesn't reach through the ring and say help, and the church at Rome gather to strive together corporately and individually in prayer for deliverance from these impossible to accomplish on his own plans. This is a tag team. This is why he needs prayer. Listen to another example of this. The struggle against unbelievers in Acts from a different apostle. This is Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. This really happened. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized him and put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people, so Peter was kept in prison. That's what they want to do to Paul. That's what they do to Paul from time to time. But listen to what happens in the book of Acts. Someone had tagged team. And someone had gotten a response and someone was helped through the striving of prayer. It says, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, that's the angel, and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together. And guess what do you think they were doing at that party? Watching the Titans play the Eagles? Exchanging Christmas presents? There were many there who were gathered together and were praying. The prayers, not of apostles, not of the mighty men and women, but of the church, were praying. God hears, sends an angel working through their prayers, imposes his will on those guards, strikes them down, opens up the chains. So he's dealing with physical, spiritual realms, people and materials, and they're set free. And God is glorified through the praying of the people like you. Our first point was, ask the body for prayer. But the other second point was strive with the body in prayer. I'm so glad they prayed. You think Peter was glad they prayed? Yes. Thank you for praying. Let me come back and join the prayer meeting. Say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody in the church. Thank you for praying for me. I said the word here was to agonize. Now that's different. Sometimes in those easy prayers, like, thank you for this food. Just praise is right and appropriate, but wrestling principalities of darkness, wrestling with God that his will be done, that missionaries in the Middle East, the parents, Bethany, would be faithful in their God-given task. Wrestle. There's a picture of wrestling, too, in the Old Testament that came to mind. One, just quickly, Jacob all night with God in his tent, wrestling with him, wrestling with him. Later scholars interpret that almost as prayer, not going to let God go till he gets an answer of blessing. He wrestled with him all night. Agonizing prayer takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of discipline, a lot of love for your brothers and sisters, and just takes, flat out, just takes time. Agonizing in prayer. The other is this, Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 is where I'll read from. You can just listen to me. I'll put it all together for time's sake. Daniel says, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He's praying for his people who are in captivity. Not just one dude in a prison, an entire nation. But he's praying. He's agonizing in prayer. He says something like this in verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. Remember that first point in the sermon? O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. Does that just sound like a little prayer? It's going on. I'm still going to read some more verses. Does that sound like a half-hearted prayer? He's agonizing, tears, not going to eat, begging, laying hold of God till he gets an answer and he will not let go. Oh my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding at the beginning of your pleas for mercy. The word went out, and I have come to tell you, you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Daniel's praying. He doesn't just get an answer. He's going to get told by the angel what was going on through his striving in prayer in the spiritual realms of darkness. There is spiritual warfare going for you to keep your attention in prayer and what God is doing in the powers of darkness. Daniel 10 goes on to say, behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved. Let me just remind you, anytime you bow your knee to pray in Christ's name, God were to say anything to you in answer, the first thing you'd say is, oh, child, dearly loved. Oh, son. Oh, saint, dearly loved. Man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. He said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day," he's been praying for a long time, remember that, striving? "For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words," your prayers, moved an angel. God operated through your prayers. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for the days to come." There was angels battling, and the victory came from God's people praying. Strive with the body. Strive and prayer. What do you think their prayers would have sounded like? Like, so let's say they get this email, they get this message. All right, we're going to have a prayer meeting at the First Baptist Church of Rome. Everybody's invited. We're going to meet in the ladies' Sunday school class. And they gather to pray. How long do you think that prayer meeting would last? 30 seconds and then just go back to talking about other things? But it would last a long time. I bet there'd be tears. I bet they'd be waiting upon the Lord. I bet they'd be persistent. They might have come back night after night. They might have prayed through the night. Oh God who loves your glory, have mercy on our brother Paul. Have mercy. Let them not catch him here. Let them not catch him there. Thwart their plans. Keep these wicked people from coming to him. Preserve him in safety. Preserve the money he's carrying. Let not the robbers come and grab it and snatch it. Oh God, because your people gave that money to bless the church in Jerusalem. Preserve the account. Preserve the money bag. And bring him all the way, not just through this town, but through that town, because we know there's many wolves, we know there's many battles, we know there's depression that could set upon Paul, we know that Paul could get sick. Keep him healthy, bring him through, bring him all the way through, bring him to Jerusalem so that they can receive. And then the people in Jerusalem, and we would praise you, God, your glory is on the line. Don't do this just for Paul. Do this for the glory of Jesus who purchased a people there like he purchased a people here. You think that's what striving and prayer might sound like? Wrestling. Strive, strive. What about you? I know you probably pray, but when was the last time you were striving in prayer? Setting aside a long time to pray. Or when was the last time you prayed for the same thing day after day after day after day after day after day after day? What could we maybe strive for in prayer at Bethany Baptist Church? Here's just three brief things. Share a burden Wednesday night in our members' meeting. Our goal was to have a third elder by the end of 2022, and God has not revealed that. We've got many good candidate men, but it's just not clear. So pray with our church. God would give us another elder instead of just Jordan and Lucas. Pray. Labor for that. That the men that are here, that would be made evident, that they would be even more qualified, or that God might bring another leader, a better preacher, a better song leader, whatever. But don't you love God's people? Pray. What about our children and our grandchildren? Some in this room, some outside this room. Pray. Strive for their salvation. Pray that they would be listening right now. Pray while I'm preaching for their souls. Your children, your grandchildren who are wandered away from Christ outside of here. Friends, pray for this third thing. Pray for our relationship to the community in Alverton. There are unbelievers here. There are even believers here who are not happy about our church and would do anything they could to see these doors shut. Pray that they would have a change of heart. Pray that their plans will not stop God's plans. Pray for our relationship to the community, for breakthroughs, for conversions, for people to see that we mean well and we're just trying to follow Christ and the way that he is said here. Last application there. How can we help one another strive? He asked them for prayers. There's different types of prayers. We ask them corporately, all of you. I do better at praying longer when there's other people with me. Ask someone to pray with you in your striving. Come to our prayer meeting on Sunday nights. I guarantee you, you might fall asleep praying by yourself on your recliner, but nobody's fallen asleep yet in our prayer meeting. Okay, just to help you strive. If an hour is your goal, we'll probably accomplish that goal tonight at 6 p.m. Everyone's welcome. Come strive with us. Share with your Sunday school class. Share with one another. Write it down. Set an alarm. Strive, strive, strive. When was the last time you strived in prayer? Think about that. What would it look like to be obedient to this text? To be moved by the Spirit of God. Finally, verse 32 and 33. We had ask the body for prayer, strive with the body in prayer. Now I want us to rejoice with the body in answered prayers. So in 31, you see the first step of their striving is to be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, safely to bring the money to the believers in Jerusalem. But ultimately, his goal is verse 32. See the second so that there? They happen along the map. They happen in conjunction. So that what? If their prayers are heard and he's safely delivered, that would be called an answered prayer. And the answered prayer would be this, verse 32. Rejoice with the body and answer prayer. So that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. He wants to come celebrate answers prayer. He wants to come be with the body of Christ at Rome. He wants refreshing to happen. Isn't it so encouraging when prayer is answered? Not just answered, but when many people are praying for it and many people see the answer, there's a lot more people praising God. But in this last section, I want to ask the same question I asked you when we approached the first verse of our text. Who's refreshing who? Who's the one doing the refreshing? Is Paul saying, I'm going to come refresh you and strengthen you in your weary journey? Who's refreshing who? So that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Do you see that? It's the same humility he showed in verse 30. He needed their prayers. He wasn't strong enough on his own. He needed their refreshment. Do you see that? Humility, Apostle Paul. Are you stronger than the Apostle Paul? You see, this is the man who writes scripture. This is the man who preaches excellent sermons. This is the man who seems to never, ever sleep, but always be praying, working bivocationally to bring the gospel to Jerusalem and Rome. Like, you would think when he gets there, now y'all are weak and I'm going to bring you the strength. And he does say that in chapter 1. I'm going to give you a spiritual gift of encouragement. But this mighty man of God says that even he, when he gets to church, he needs refreshment. He needs refreshment from the brothers and sisters in Christ. Just the strong ones? Just the old ones? Just the elders and the deacons? The least of them to the greatest, he's going to be refreshed. So what do we learn about this? Ministry's hard. Those who appear to be invincible, those who labor in the word, missionaries, they still need to be refreshed. Your Sunday school teachers, they're feeding your children. They're laboring on Saturday nights. They also need refreshment. Where do they go? Do they go to like the headquarters for pastoral refreshment? They go to the local church. The body has this relationship with its leaders, with its missionaries, to not just be blessed by it, but to bless them back, to refresh them back. He needed refreshment. Does anybody else in this room need refreshment? Leader or not? Feel strong in your faith or feel weak? Do you need refreshment? The refreshment comes from being with the saints. So this also tells us too, when do you think the refreshment's going to happen? Let's say he makes it successfully to Rome and he gets there. Does the refreshment happen when Paul walks in? He says, I know y'all been looking for a preacher and I submitted my resume. I don't know if you got that, but I'm going to come and I'm going to preach to you. And he preaches the gospel to the church of Rome. Is that when his refreshment happens? No. His refreshment doesn't even happen then, likely, because he's the one doing the refreshing or the imparting. It happens outside of this time. Do you see that? It happens when they share soup over lunch and they sit at the same table. It happens after the service when instead of telling Pastor Paul how to pray for them, they say, Pastor Paul, can you tell us how to pray for you? Because we're going to pray for you. We love you. Do you see this? He receives this refreshment probably not in the gathered assembly where he's doing all the talking, but he sits down and he listens and he lets himself be talked to. Friends, ask you, if you feel like you're a leader, you feel like you're strong in the Lord, do you think you're stronger than the Apostle Paul? Are you always pouring into others, leading your family, but you won't let others pour into you? You won't sit and be encouraged by your wife, by a young child in the Lord. He receives this refreshment from the least of the saints. Probably happened after meals, during meals, in his home. We found out later they came for 2 years and visited him in his... What do you think it sounded like? What do you think it looked like? What would refreshing company be with? I don't know. they cooked him his favorite meal, or they just told him about how God had used him in their life, or they told the missionaries, you've been working hard, we're going to take you out to dinner. Or they sent encouragement care packages to the missionaries. They were refreshing them. So maybe here's an application. Someone probably before now has labored in the Word of God for you this morning, your Sunday school teacher, and you were blessed. Well, they need to be refreshed. Why don't you write them an encouragement letter this week? Why don't you take them out to lunch and say, I'm so thankful for your ministry to me or to my family, to my children. Take out your Sunday school teacher. They need refreshment too. So this relationship between the body of Christ and Paul, or the ministers and the missionaries and the lay people are going to oftentimes still lead in refreshing. There's a place for them to refresh. They don't just receive, but they give back. I'm satisfied about all you, my brothers, that you are full of knowledge, able to instruct. Yes, even your Sunday school teacher. But then the leaders, the people like, or maybe feel like they're stronger, or they've been leading a ministry, they've got to let other people. You've got to be a time where you stop talking. You've got to listen. You got to be a part of a small group. You got to be a part of a Sunday school class where you can get fed, where you sit under God's word. Probably one of the most refreshing times throughout my week is with the men, when I'm not leading our men's group and someone like Hunter, another brother, leads, and I sit under God's word and I'm challenged and I'm refreshed. Do you have that where you're, if you're a leader, where you're receiving? It takes humility. So ask yourself as we close, when was the last time you asked for prayer? When was the last time you strove in prayer? When was the last time you just received the blessing of other people's praying, received the refreshment from others serving you? Let yourself be served. Be humble like Paul. See, the body needs every single part. Another thought just came to mind, last thing about prayer. Sometimes you think only super spiritual people pray, or praying is a spiritual gift. Like, she's a prayer warrior. Do you remember in Romans when Paul listed all the spiritual gifts? You know what's not a spiritual gift in that list? Praying. That's not only for special people, especially gifted. Praying is for the whole body. If you're in this room and you have been born from above, you can pray. Your prayers are powerful. And so here's the letter I received. A little encouraging, a little hopeful that maybe my prayers mattered. Maybe some of you who are on that prayer email chain, your prayers and striving also. November 23rd. What's that? 5 days later at 11:43 p.m., thanks to many of you who have been praying and asking about Richard. Richard has been banned from the campus and threatened with the religious police if another complaint is made by a student against him. It's kind of what we expected, the email read. Pray that they don't follow the trail, and that we would be wise on how to best reach out to the campus in light of this. Also pray for Yahia, who has been receiving threats on the same campus. However, he recently has become very bold with his faith. He used to be a Muslim. He's bold. Pray that he would be wise, but also bold in trusting God. Thanks, the email said. Thank you for your prayers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have qualified every Christian in this room to pray, that you hear our prayers, that they are greatly loved, even when their prayers seem insufficient and weak. I pray, God, that even now I strive in prayer for a move of God, not just in the preaching of the word, but responding of the word and taking the Lord's Supper, that you would move in our midst. The unbelievers would be made believers, and believers would be refreshed in the singing of our prayers to Christ and of the taking of his body and his blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.